These are uncertain times, but Munson Savings Bank continues to grow and evolve, most recently by opening a new loan and operations center in Wilbraham and a new branch in East Longmeadow, scheduled to open later this summer. At Munson Savings Bank, we believe in going above and beyond to create solutions for people, businesses, and our community.
Hello. And welcome to Business Talk, presented by Business West and Living Local, and brought to you by Munson Savings Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Good morning and welcome everyone to another episode of Business Talk, the podcast presented by Business West Magazine, in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien. I'm the editor of Business West Magazine. We have an intriguing show for you today. We have Donna Hygiget. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the Women's Fund of Western Massachusetts, one of my favorite organizations in Western Mass. We're going to talk today about the Women's Fund, what they do, and some exciting new programs they have coming up. Donna, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. It's a great morning outside, and now it'll be riveting to talk with you today, George.
Well, thank you for saying so. So let's start by telling our listeners a lot about the Women's Fund. This is probably an organization that they've heard about, but probably don't know too much about. It's one of my favorite organizations. As a matter of fact, it was one of the winners of Business West Difference Makers Award back, oh boy, probably 4 or 5 years ago now, for all the great work that you do out there. So give us a quick summation of the programs that you run.
Wonderful. Will do. And we are almost 24 years old, the Women's Fund of Western Massachusetts. Interestingly enough, we were started by three Western Mass women, Diane Fuller Doherty, Sally Livingston, who unfortunately passed away a year and a half ago, and Martha Richards. And they had gone to the United Nations Conference in Beijing, China, back 25 years ago now. And they were so inspired by what they saw and learned there that they wanted to come back and make change for women and girls in Western Massachusetts. They thought that men pay attention to money, so they would raise money and put it to use to change the lives, improve the lives of women and girls across all four counties of Western Massachusetts. You mentioned the programs. As a women's foundation, we have been trying to really focus on fundraising, just like our original founders have, and maybe a little bit less on programming in the last few years. So instead of ourselves doing programs such as the Leadership Institute for Political and Public Impact, which some of your audience may have heard of, and our Young Women's Young Women's Initiative, which focuses on girls and young women in Springfield, particularly girls and young women of color. We were running those programs ourselves, and we made a strategic decision a couple of years ago to invite community partners who do direct service work to run the programs in partnership with us so that we could focus more on fundraising and research. And so our partners, last year our partner for the LIPI program was UMass, and it also allowed the women in the program to receive credits. And for the program with the Young Women's Initiative, our partner is 18 Degrees, which some of your audience may remember used to be called Berkshire Children and Families.
Interesting. So, like you were talking about, a lot of different programs, a lot of it involves networking and bringing people together. That's pretty difficult to do during a pandemic. So, I'm sure your mission hasn't changed, but maybe how you've carried it out has. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, definitely. Like this podcast and pretty much all events in Western Mass, we pivoted to virtual. So the two programs I mentioned, the LIPI program, the Young Women's Initiative, by late March, they were had already successfully pivoted to Zoom like everyone else. And so the remainder of the curriculum was all taught virtually. Our board meetings went immediately to Zoom as well. And now we're being creative about even our other virtual programs. So for instance, I mentioned that it's 25 years since our founders went to Beijing, China. We decided to celebrate the marking of this 25th anniversary and use it as a way to think about how to sort of look at progress and challenges from the 25th, you know, from 25 years ago when they visited Beijing. And we are planning a virtual event, and that's September 11th. And we're bringing two global experts, along with Kathleen Zegda from the Public Health Institute of Western Massachusetts, to look at both globally how women and girls have fared in the 25 years since Beijing, but also locally for Kathleen to speak about the research that we commissioned the Public Health Institute to do last year, which is really a status report on women and girls in Western Massachusetts. And I'm hoping also that our three speakers will also speak about how COVID is changing that landscape as well.
Interesting. This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local and sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. We're talking with Donna Hygigat. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the Women's Fund of Western Massachusetts. I know you wanted to talk about a new initiative you have. You've got called the Power Women's Hour series. We'll get to that in a minute. Talk just a little bit about LIPI. I love this program. This is designed to get women involved in politics and public service. Talk to us about how many people have been through this program and how it has helped get more women involved.
Sure. So I think over the 10 years that we have been running LIPI, we've had close to 300 women go through the program. And it's the acronym LIPI really stands for Leadership Institute for Public and Political Impact. And so the impetus of the program is really to get more women in elected leadership, but also through the evolution of the program, we realized that we needed to get women in other facets of leadership as well. And in fact, our new strategic direction is expanding upon that to say we want parity in all positions of power. So you mentioned LIPI success stories. A few that I can share with you: Northampton Police Chief Jody Casper is a LIPI alumna. The Pittsfield Mayor Linda Tyre is also a alumna of the LIPI program. And we have Denise Hurst, who is running for elected office currently. She's a LIPI alumna as well. And the nice thing about that is women, you know, learn more about their own leadership and willingness to step out, but they also then have a sort of sisterhood that's born from the cohort that they are in as well.
Interesting. Okay, so now talk about the Women's Power Hour series. This sounds intriguing. This is about women of color and COVID and the businesses that they own and the way that they've been impacted. Talk about it a little bit.
Sure, George. So you mentioned, you know, how are we pivoting to doing things during this time of COVID? And we realized that we wanted to raise awareness about women entrepreneurs. One of the things that our research report that came out last year highlighted was that women-owned businesses were not very, you know, there wasn't a great percentage of women who owned businesses. In fact, I think it's Hampshire County had the highest percentage of women-owned businesses, and that was still less than 35%. Now, of those, we know predominantly they are white women business-owned. So we decided between what was happening with the pandemic and wanting to do something virtually and seeing that some of the government assistance programs like the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, were not being seen as going to Black women entrepreneurs and or other women of color entrepreneurs. And we noticed that that was because of a lack of banking relationships. So we knew that there were barriers that women of color entrepreneurs faced to begin with, and COVID just made it harder. So we chose to create something in a virtual format. Power Women Hour was the sort of name that we came up with for the series, because not only are the women who are going to be featured on this powerful, but we think that also a lot of our viewers will be empowered to want to support this, these kinds of businesses, these particular businesses for sure, but also just generally have their eyes opened about how they can support women entrepreneurs generally, but particularly those who face the most barriers to launching and sustaining businesses.
So how exactly is it going to work?
So it's going to be a video each month that, and on each month we'll feature one woman entrepreneur, and we'll have them, they'll be recorded because that way with COVID, we don't have to worry about endangering anyone. And sort of how we're doing this today, you and I, we're not together, but we're speaking together, right? So the video will allow us to safely have a series of questions that our entrepreneurs will respond to. If they have, if they're in a line of business that lends itself to sort of teaching, whether it's, for instance, Sonia Helder is one of the women that we're going to feature, and she happens to be in the line of work of food service and catering. You know, so if she wants to show our audience how to make a certain something, that would be fun. And we think also fun for our viewers. So to the extent that we can use this format to actually showcase or teach or share a skill that's from their business, that will be exciting as well. And then we will use our social media platform and our e-newsletters to promote these businesses as well. And finally, George, we thought it's really important because we know these women face so many barriers, that we wanted to also pay them for their time. So part of the model of this series is that we pay the women entrepreneurs for their time in speaking with us.
Go back to what you were saying about PPP. This has been a program that's drawn a lot of praise from a lot of people, including me. Mm-hmm. Just observed it, you know, from the 30,000 foot level. This program has certainly helped a lot of businesses through this pandemic, or at least through the first 3 or 4 months of it. But what seems to be emerging is that there have been holes in the program and that there are people who have been left out. Yeah. And you mentioned banking relationships, women of color, businesses of color in general. Talk some more about how these people got left behind.
Well, I think it's, you know, we've heard about this in the news anecdotally, but we actually even had this experience with the Women's Fund, like a lot of other nonprofits. We did try immediately to apply for the PPP with our existing bank and, you know, went through all the process and different things. And as you may recall, with the first series of the PPP, a lot of banks, if they had a certain vendor that they were working with, I think Cabbage was one of them, and that was our banking. Our bank was using that vendor. There were like kinks in the system. And so even though we followed all the, you know, procedures and so forth, we got locked out and we did not get PPP funding in that first round. So you can imagine that a small woman of color entrepreneur, even if she did have a banking relationship, which again, that's how the PPP program was set up, so that it was done through banks. So by default, you already had to have a banking relationship in order to access that funding. But even then, there were barriers. So we were just diligent and were able to do it in that second round of funding. So it's just, you know, that's just an example of how we experienced it. So we can just imagine somebody who's the chief cook and bottle washer trying to do everything for a small emerging business, to have to navigate that is really tough.
Hmm. This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local and sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. We're talking to Donna Hygigate. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the Women's Fund of Western Massachusetts. We're talking about the Women's Fund, their various programs, and a new initiative they have called the Power Women's Hour Series. Talking about women-owned businesses, specifically minority, black-owned businesses, and COVID-19. And we're talking about how some of these businesses failed to qualify for PPP. We're hearing a lot about how the pandemic is impacting women more than men in general. A lot of the burden of what's going on at home is falling on women. Their businesses are not qualifying for PPP as much. Is the Women's Fund addressing some of these issues in some ways, or is this something you're looking to address in the future with programming?
Yeah, George, thanks. That's a great question. So we had just emerged with our new strategic plan during the start of the COVID pandemic. And in some ways it was kind of well-timed that we were just developing our final new strategic plan because we could pivot. And certainly our highest priority was economic security for women and girls. So one of the things that we are doing is to focus on economic security for women and girls. And what we're trying to do is create a hub, an economic security hub for women in the Springfield region. And what we're trying to do is to work with Springfield Works, which is a part of the EDC, the Economic Development Corporate Council, and also, you know, organizations that are doing direct service work on the ground, such as Dress for Success and Head Start and Educare, those kinds of organizations that are interacting on a consistent basis with women and their families, of course, because we do realize one of the things you mentioned, George, was how women are also being impacted at home, and that is because of sort of traditional gendered roles, and also because of economic disparities in pay, oftentimes it's the person who's making less that says, okay, well, I'll focus more on the kids. Let's make sure that your job is stable. And so what happens is the woman then finds herself sometimes juggling her own job responsibilities and trying to make sure that her child is learning online, so to speak, and different things like that. Economically as well, we see women are concentrated in a lot of the sectors that have been displaced because of the pandemic. You know, folks who are in hospitality, restaurants, a lot of the places that had to lay off workers. And then also a lot of the sort of frontline workers in both healthcare and, you know, grocery and delivery and so forth tend to be women as well.
Anything being done to address this inequality, if you will? Is there any movement to, like I said, bridge that gap?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we're doing is trying to make sure that data is being collected so that we have a full picture of how women, in particular women of color, are being impacted. And with this economic security hub that we're trying to launch, we're hoping to pull folks together so that we can work together to affect faster change for the women in Springfield's region, to get them back to work or redeployed in other fields if it's going to be something that's a long-term impact. Also to, you know, frankly, to figure out the issue about childcare or, as I like to really call it, early learning. And that is a real issue that we need to solve in order to make sure that women can work and can sustain their jobs, and that children of those women are not experiencing further learning loss because they're not learning at the, you know, at the same level as maybe a mom who does have the time to devote to making sure her child is on target with school.
Is there any data available yet? Are we seeing trends in data on unemployment? Or are women actually finding themselves unemployed at a higher level than men?
Yes, there's definitely, they're calling it the she session this time. They refer to the last recession as the man session, and this time they're referring it as to the she session, excuse me. And that is because of the disproportionate number of women who are concentrated in the sectors that were most affected by shutdowns or just, you know, lack of demand, like hospitality, let's say in the Berkshires in our region. You know, there's hardly anybody going there on vacation because of the pandemic, but also because a lot of the cultural institutions have, you know, not had any of their season. And so there's less of a demand for, you know, hotel workers and restaurant workers. And those are predominantly women. So that's why they're calling this a she session.
The she session. That is unfortunate. Go back to the Power Women's Hour series. You obviously have a lot of goals for that particular program. What do we want to accomplish with this?
I think we would like to accomplish two things. One certainly is to spotlight these individual entrepreneurs and let folks know that there are these women who are against the odds really launching these businesses and trying to keep them afloat, so that our audience can support them, but also really trying to, I kind of call this period of racial awakening, so to speak, to really sort of nurture people's desire to help and be more, you know, quote unquote, woke, to give them places that they can support women entrepreneurs, and also to, you know, sort of change the lens with which they look for businesses that they might support, so that they may be inspired to look for a local Western Mass business that might particularly be led by a woman of color, and understanding that they need even more help to get off the ground and stay there. And, you know, George, you and I spoke yesterday about how a lot of the organizations Business West has featured have tend to be bigger businesses, and so often they're not necessarily run by people of color, particularly women of color, and that is because it's really hard for them to go from being a small business to being that medium-sized business. And so our hope is that folks will understand that and try to support and promote that.
Okay, very lofty goals indeed. Good luck with that program, and good luck with all your other initiatives. This is a year like any other. People are just trying to get through it. I know you're doing a lot more than just getting it through it. New initiatives, new programs. Good luck with all that. So thanks for listening. Remember to join us next time for another episode of Business Talk, presented in partnership with Living Local, sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. I'm George O'Brien, editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.